So after that, from that, we have to come down a step. Or, as it were, the enlightened mind has to come down a step, come down to the next highest level. The level of images, level of archetypal images, images of the sun and the moon, images of light and darkness, images of the heavens and the earth, images of birds and beasts and flowers, images of rain and wind and thunder and lightning and the stars, images of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, images of gods and goddesses, images benign and wrathful, images of all sorts of monstrous shapes, images perhaps above all, brilliantly coloured, luminous, shining, brilliant, images arising as it were out of the depths of infinite, universal, cosmic space, not images created by the individual human mind, not even perhaps images created by the collective consciousness or collective unconsciousness, perhaps images not created at all, images which are, as it were, coeval, coeternal with the enlightened consciousness itself. At least so far as this particular level of communication is concerned. And these images too reveal everything, tell everything. They reveal it, they tell it in terms of form, in terms of colour. Here, in the world of images, on the level of images, no thoughts are necessary, no ideas are necessary. No words are necessary. Communication is perhaps not so subtle as it is on the highest level, the level of mantric sound, but it's still far subtler, far more comprehensive than anything we ordinarily experience. And then we come down one step further. We come down now to the level of conceptual thought. But we must remember that it is still the enlightened mind, as it were, coming down. It's not a question, it's not a matter of the unenlightened consciousness expressing itself in terms of thought. Conceptual thought is a common medium. It's common both to the enlightened and to the unenlightened mind. And of course, conceptual thought is created by the unenlightened mind, but it can be used, it can be taken over, it can even be transformed by the enlightened mind in accordance with its own higher purposes. And this gives us, as it were, a clue to the nature, the real nature of what is sometimes called Buddhist philosophy or Buddhist thought. Buddhist philosophy or Buddhist thought does not consist of the speculations of the unenlightened minds of ordinary, relatively nominal Buddhists. Buddhist philosophy, as we call it in the West, Buddhist thought, is an attempt, perhaps a series of attempts, on the part of the enlightened mind, the Buddha mind, whether that of Gautama the Buddha or others, to communicate with unenlightened minds through the medium of concepts. So that doctrines like that of conditioned co-production, for teacher somewhat pardon, have to be understood in this light, not just as purely intellectual excogitations, but as efforts to communicate through the conceptual medium on the part of an enlightened mind trying to reach an unenlightened mind. And lastly, we come down to the level of words. Some people, of course, say that one cannot really separate words and thoughts, and certainly the connection between the two is very close. It's closer than the connection between images and thoughts. But nevertheless, they're not quite the same thing. We do sometimes have thoughts which we do not or even cannot put into words, even sub-vocally. So having explored to some extent these four stages, these four levels, we can now see the enormous gulf, as we may say, that separates the enlightened mind, the enlightened consciousness, the mind of the Buddha, from its expressions in terms of ordinary human speech. We can see through how many levels the Buddha had, as it were, to descend after his enlightenment before he could even speak to the five ascetics, before he could teach them. No wonder, coming down as he had to do through all those levels, it took him not less than 8 weeks. From the level, as it were, of the enlightened mind itself, down to the level of mantric sound. Not that he came down as it were leaving behind the other stage. He's coming down without leaving behind. And then from the level of mantric sound to the level of archetypal images. From the level of archetypal images to the level of thought. And from the level of thought to the level of words. And the word of the Buddha, or Buddha Vachana, consists of all these four things. Consists of the primordial mantric sound. Consists of the archetypal images, the concepts, and the words.